Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him. The most sacred symbol in Oklahoma City is a tree. A sprawling, shade-bearing, 80-year-old American elm. Tourists drive from miles around to see her. People pose for pictures beneath her. Arborists carefully protect her. She adorns posters and letterhead. Other trees grow larger and fuller and even greener. But not one is equally cherished. The city treasures that tree, not because of her appearance, but because of her endurance. Next Sunday is going to be the 25th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing. Tim McVeigh parked his death-laden truck only yards away from that tree, and his malice killed 168 people, wounded 850. And it completely destroyed the side of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building. That tree was buried in the rubble, and nobody expected it to survive. In fact, really not anybody gave any thought to a dusty, branch-stripped tree. But then something happened. She began to bud, and sprouts pressed through damaged bark, and green leaves pushed away the gray soot, and life appeared in an acre of death. Well, people noticed, and that tree began to model the resilience that the victims desired. So they gave that tree a name. It's the survivor tree. You know, every disaster has iconic images that arise from the ashes, whether it's the firemen that were raising the flag after 9/11, or it's the Space Shuttle Challenger crew as they're waving about to board that doomed craft. Or maybe it's the lifeless body of little Bailey Allman that day in Oklahoma City. Those images come to mind when we think about disasters. I'm not sure what the image of COVID-19 is going to be. I have a feeling it's probably going to look something like this, wearing a mask. I don't know if that will be it, but I can guarantee you this. This is an Easter that you're not likely to forget. But the same spirit that infused the courage from the survivor tree is the spirit of resolve that I think our country has to show and has shown in the face of this crisis. You know, it's interesting, though, there are many people that are just trying to figure out how to do that, though. Because like the video that we just watched showed, so many people today feel empty inside. You see, when we're exposed to struggles and to stress and to pain and to hardship, what happens is our inner self is exposed. Who we are and what we really believe just kind of rises to the surface in our life. And this crisis with these stay-at-home orders that we're going through right now have given a lot of people time to think. In fact, a lot of people think it's given them too much time to think. But given them time to think and to reflect, to look at who they are. And many people are just confused when they're trying to figure that out. They're confused about their life and confused about the direction they're supposed to go, confused about their purpose, trying to figure out what to make of it. And some of you probably feel that way right now. I don't know about you, but I just feel like Easter has really come at just the right time. And I want to encourage you today, and I want to encourage you to find that same resilience like we see in the survivor tree, for you to withstand the explosion that is COVID-19, and not just that, but the struggles of this life, so that we can be not just survivors, But we can really thrive during this time. And actually, Easter sets us up really well for that. I want to share with you some verses today from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to put the verses up on the screen to help you today if you don't have a Bible with you, or maybe you're new to the Bible. And if you're new to the Bible, that's awesome. You've come to the right church, the right place, and we want to help you understand about the Bible. Let me tell you why. Because the Bible is God's love letter to you. And just like a love letter, when you read a love letter, it gives you a sense of hope on the inside. Well, so does God's Word. Because the fact is, life is hard sometimes. And if we didn't believe that before, we certainly have seen it in these days. Nobody put on their New Year's resolutions back in late December or January of this year. Nobody put on their New Year's resolutions to quarantine with the family, to watch every single thing they have on Netflix, and to fight with people over toilet paper. But that's where we are today. Now, by the way, next Sunday, I'm going to be bringing a message entitled A Biblical Guide for Surviving Quarantine. And yes, God's Word speaks to every situation, and God's Word speaks to quarantine, and I think you're going to find some encouragement from it, because the fact is, life is crazy sometimes, and we've seen that certainly over these past few weeks, but life is often hard. And that's where we are today. So what I want to do from 2 Corinthians is I want to read a couple of verses, read some verses to us today. And they may be hard for some of you to understand at first. What does that mean? What is that saying? But I'm going to try to explain them to us so we can all understand them together. But I want you to understand this. These are words of hope. You're going to hear words of hope today. I want to begin by reading one verse. It's verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Every home has two types of storage containers. So you have those storage containers in your house that are really nice. They've got kind of sturdy plastic, and maybe they have the lock handles on the side. You spend a little extra money on them. They're nice. But we also have those containers that are the old plastic Tupperware-type containers that are stained from spaghetti that you put in them 8 years ago, and you can't find the original lid on anyway. So if a family member comes over and they're going to take some leftovers home from your meal that you had together, you put the food in those containers, and you don't ask for them back. You just like, yeah, keep it. It's not worth anything. Well, Paul says we're kind of like those containers. You see, back then, jars of clay were fragile, expendable, cheap, and unattractive. And Paul uses that image to compare to our lives. That the container or the jar of our lives is pretty fragile. But what we have in that container is a treasure. And that treasure really is what the message of Easter is all about. Paul says that we're like those clay jars, and our lives can break up pretty easily. We've seen that in recent weeks. COVID-19 has shown us that life can be hard at times, and our bodies can be frail. And lives can change in just a matter of hours. We've seen that. Paul tells us that because of what's in those jars of clay, though, we can take heart. What's on the inside causes us to take heart on the outside. Let me read a couple more verses. This is in verse 8. Paul writes, but we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So what Paul does there is he lays out some word pairings. And the first word refers to the difficulty that clay jars like you and me face. The second word in the pair refers to the hope or the treasure that is inside that helps us to overcome. So the first, he says that we're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Hard-pressed has to do with the pressures of life. So Paul had troubles, and he had pressures on every side. I think we can relate to that. It's kind of like when you have a roaring headache, and you just feel like there's a vice on your head, a grip that's just pushing in on every side. Paul is saying life is like that sometimes. He says, but you know what? We're not crushed. Being crushed is the idea of having no way out. And Paul is reminding us that when that vice seems to be closing in, God has a way out for us. The next pairing, he says that we're perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed literally means without resources or answers, that we're confused. You might say it this way, wondering what in the world is going on. And I think many of us have wondered what in the world is going on over these last few weeks. But Paul says, we're not in despair. Despair is when you have no one to turn to. Paul says, we have someone to turn to. God is our ever-present help. He is our strength. The next pairing that Paul uses is that we're persecuted, but not abandoned. Persecuted means to be attacked, harassed. There's trouble from every side. But Paul says in this, we're not alone. In fact, God says this. In Hebrews 13:5, God tells you, I will never leave you. Jesus tells us in Matthew, he says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. There are some of you that are at your house right now and you're all by yourself. There are some of you that have a house full of people right now and yet you feel very alone. You may feel alone right now, and you may actually be alone right now, but you're not. God is with you. He's with you right there, right now, in your home. He's not forgotten you. The next coupling of phrases says that we're struck down, but not destroyed. Struck down is to take a hit that throws us for a loop. We've all taken a hit as of late, but we are not destroyed. That is, we're not ruined, especially the idea of being, of that idea of eternal destruction. You see, what Paul is pointing out in all of these groupings of words, he's pointing out that life is hard. In fact, life can be brutal. And we have seen that in these past few days and weeks with COVID-19. It has been unlike any time in our life. And now we're seeing furloughs and we're seeing layoffs. There's a lot of uncertainty in the economy and the markets and retirements. Kids are out of school. There's sickness. And every day we just see that number going up of deaths. Life is hard. In the natural order, we'd be wiped out, but God operates in the supernatural order. God is the great dealer of hope. And with all of this hardship in life and trouble on every side, how can you have hope in this life? Well, once again, the Bible speaks to us. And these are words that speak of what we celebrate today. They're hope, words of hope, the hope of the resurrection. Listen to these words beginning in verse 13. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise you in his presence. You just heard the message of Easter in those two verses. The message of Easter is while there is hardship and there is struggle, and by the way, that hardship and struggle, suffering comes in our life because of the sin that is in our world. We live in a fallen world. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the book of Job, and I invite you later to go back on our website and listen to those sermons in Job as I talk why we have evil in the world. But we hear about that, and yet the Bible tells us that in the midst of all of that, we can not only survive, but we can thrive. And the reason we can thrive is because death is not the end. Death was not the end for Jesus. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus died on the cross and he paid the penalty for your sin and mine. Now, the Bible teaches us we should have been the one to pay that price. We should have paid for all the things that we have done that are wrong, all the sins we have committed, all the things that displease God. But the Bible tells us that God sent his son, Jesus, to come to earth, to die on the cross, to pay for your sin and mine. And the Bible teaches us that if we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sin, that he took our place, that he suffered and died on the cross, the Bible teaches us our sin will be forgiven. Now, just having our sins forgiven is really only part of the story, because God also raised Jesus from the dead. God raised him to new life. He died on that cross on that Friday, but God raised him on that Sunday that's what we celebrate today, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is not dead. He is alive. And God is inviting you into a living relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ who paid for your sin and mine. So if we'll turn from our sin, and if we will confess our sin, that is to agree with God that we've done things wrong, which we can all agree with that, but to confess our sin and we turn to him, if we'll believe in him, if we will receive what Christ has done for us, we'll have our sins forgiven, we'll be made right with God, we'll be given new life. In fact, this verse reminds us of that. What does the verse say? The one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. You see, that's why we're not destroyed by the struggles and the hardships of this life, and ultimately why we find strength and courage to thrive in the midst of all of it. You see, that's why we celebrate Easter even in the midst of COVID-19. I've heard a lot of people saying this week, yeah, because of all that's going on, Easter's been canceled. Easter has not been canceled. We are celebrating today. We're celebrating in our homes because of the hope that we have in Christ, who God raised from the dead. And hear this. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he was doing so with a promise. You realize that? A lot of people don't quite understand that. They don't quite realize that. When God raised Jesus from the dead, it is a promise that he would also do this one day for those who believe and trust in him. Christ's resurrection is a promise. It's a guarantee that those who believe in him will one day be resurrected to a new life. And friend, that can be you. So the resurrection is all about hope. In fact, Easter brings us hope. And Paul reminds us of that hope. I want to share some more words with you here from 2 Corinthians. And just I think these are words we need to remember on this Easter in 2020 when things are so crazy. Listen to these words. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Friend, Paul tells us, he says, take heart. Take heart. Be people of courage and people of faith today. He says, yes, our physical bodies, they're wasting away. In fact, the way that that's written in the Bible, the word means it's just an ongoing, continuous wasting away. A little bit more every day. Every day we waste away a little bit more. But inside of us, we can allow our faith to renew us day by day. Paul says, look, he's writing to these people and he says, hey, I know you're going through a lot. He's writing to us. Hey, I know you're going through a lot. But in the scheme of all of eternity, what we're facing today is light and momentary, he says. Now, to be honest with each other, it's hard to view what's happening right now as light and momentary, especially if you've lost your job, especially if you're worried about your retirement, especially if you're struggling in school right now with the strange nature of how we're having to teach. You're struggling in your job. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you were sick before COVID-19 and you're struggling. Maybe you're going through depression in your life and this stay at home has just kind of made it worse. It's really hard to view these things as light and momentary. But you see, that's what happens when we fix our eyes only on today. Do we have to look at today? Yes, we have to look at today. But we can't live our lives only on what we can see today. That's what this scripture is teaching us. You see, fixing your eyes on what is unseen is how you thrive in the hardships of life. Fixing your eyes on what is unseen is how you thrive in the hardships of life. What do we call that? We call that hope. Now, hope in our language means kind of like a wish, wishful thinking. But in the Bible, when it talks about biblical hope, it always is guaranteed. It always means it is going to happen. In fact, when God speaks about things that will happen, it is so certain that it is as if it has already happened. Bob Russell speaks of three kinds of hope. There's short-term hope. That's the hope that energizes us for today or for these days. There's also long-term hope, and that's what helps us to persevere through the difficulties of life. It gives us something to look forward to, kind of a longer-term picture. But there's a third type of hope that most people miss out on, and that is eternal hope. Eternal hope gives us ultimate purpose and gives ultimate meaning to life, whether it's the good things in life or the hardships and the difficulties of life. You see, God never wastes anything, and he doesn't waste even the hardships of life. Even events like COVID-19 are not wasted by God. He uses these problems and these troubles in our life, and what he does is he uses them to take us back to the cross, as we've done this week. And he takes us back to the empty tomb. The hardships of life take us back to the empty tomb. And what it does is by focusing on what Jesus did, it causes us in the midst of this hardship to look inside ourselves and to examine in our life where we place our hope, where you place your hope. Is all of your hope placed in this life and in this world? Because God is trying to use this time to cause you to think about not just this life and this world, but he's trying to cause you to think about something bigger and better, greater and eternal. C.S. Lewis wrote The Chronicles of Narnia. Some of you have read those. And in one of the books, The Silver Chair, he tells the story of Eustace and Jill. And they set out to find Prince Rillian. Prince Rillian has been kidnapped. He's been kidnapped and enchanted by the evil Lady of the Green Kirtle. So she enchants Prince Rillian to forget who he is and also to forget where he's come from. Well, Eustace and Jill rescue him while she, the Lady of the Green Kirtle, is absent. But the enchantress returns and she attempts to bewitch all of them, to cause them to forget who they are. And she weaves a spell on them to forget the land of Narnia. She wants them to believe, and she's trying to entice them and enchant them to believe that there is no other country. There's no Narnia out there. The only country is the one that they are in. And she tries to persuade them that any thoughts of Narnia, that's just a dream. That's not real. There is no other land than the one that you are in right now. This underworld that they are in, with no sun and no sky and no stars and no Aslan, who represents God, no God. And she just keeps repeating the mantra to them. It's all a dream. There never was any world but mine. There never was any world but this one. And she gets them to begin to believe that their present reality is the only reality. Everything else is just a fairy tale. And in the book, C.S. Lewis makes the comment that the more enchanted you get, the more you feel like you aren't really enchanted at all. So she gets them to agree with her that the other world, it's just a dream. It's just a fairy tale. But you see, it takes the action by their companion, Puddleglum. He's the realist among them. And he endures great pain and great suffering to defeat the spell of the sorceress. Okay, so why do I tell that story? Why do I tell a children's story? Well, sometimes the afflictions and the hardships and the struggles of life are used to break a spell that we can get caught in. And that's the spell of our illusion that this world that we live in right now is all there is. That another life beyond is just a fairy tale. Friend, let me tell you something. The truth is that if you reject the message of Easter, there really isn't all that much to look forward to. There really isn't all that much hope. If you reject the message of Easter, if you reject Jesus, this life is really all you have to look forward to. In fact, you could say it this way. This world that you're in right now is your heaven. But friend, if you accept what Christ has done, if you accept the message of Easter, then what happens is you realize there is so much more. That this life and the struggles and the suffering that we all go through here on this earth, that this isn't all that there is. But there's another place. There's another land that is so much better. In fact, in some ways you could say that this is your hell. And you can say that because you are looking for a better world. You have a better place to look forward to. It only gets better in that place that God has prepared for us. So, how do you survive the bomb blast of COVID-19? And how do you find hope? How do you find life like that survivor tree? Well, you go back to another tree. You go back to that old rugged cross that Jesus died on in your place. And you put your faith and your trust in him. And you believe that Jesus died and he rose again. And you ask him to forgive you of your sins. That's what it means to confess. You agree with God, hey, I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. And the Bible says you will become a child of God. We're all God's creation, but we're not all God's children. We become a child of God when we place our faith and trust in His Son. That's how we become sons and daughters of the King. Which means that an empty tomb can fill your empty life. The hope of Christ is that you can not only survive, but you can thrive in the face of COVID-19 or any other challenge that may come your way. And that is because Jesus Christ is your hope, and heaven will ultimately be your home. So don't lose heart this Easter season. In fact, take heart. And if you've never done so, give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for you, who defeated sin and death in the grave to give you forgiveness and life and hope in Him. Now, I want to talk specifically to those of you who, if you were honest, would have to say, I have never received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not talking about growing up in a Christian home or a Christian country. I'm talking about you personally. Have you ever prayed and asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to receive Him, to believe that He died for you and to receive Him as Savior and Lord? If you have never done so, I'm talking to you right now. And I want to invite you on this Easter Sunday to make the greatest decision you can ever make, and that is to pray right now and to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. What I'm going to do is I want to lead us in a prayer right now. And so right there in your home, all across this land, all across our community, all around the world, I just want to ask everyone to bow your head right now. If you have never prayed to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, or maybe you're not sure if you have, but you want to do so right now, then I want to invite you to pray this prayer. Pray it to God. You're not praying to the people in the room or to me. But just pray. Say, Dear God, I know that I am a sinner, that I have gone my own way. I know, God, You sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. He took my place. He paid the price for me. And Jesus, I'm asking You to be my Lord and Savior, to forgive me of my sins. God, make me a new person. Help me to live for You. And in the quiet of this moment, would you just in your own words, would you just thank Jesus for dying for you? And thank God for saving you right here and right now. That's what it means to be born again. Just thank Him in your own words. There are some of you who are watching right now, and you already know Christ, but you have come to a place today where you realize you need to recommit your life to the Lord. I want to invite you to do so, to recommit your life to Him today, just to tell Him, God, I'm recommitting to You. A lot of times people think that we should do that on special days or special occasions. I believe every day is a day of recommitment to the Lord. And I believe every time we hear the Word of God proclaimed, we should decide, what are we going to do with it? If you've never recommitted your life to the Lord, today's a good day to do that. And if you did last week, today's a good day to recommit your life to the Lord. You know, there's some of you who are watching that want to join our church. We want to give you the opportunity to do that. There's some of you that are watching that have a prayer need in your life, a prayer request. We want to invite you today to let us pray for you. Okay, so how do we do all of that? If you have a decision to make, if you just prayed that prayer to receive Jesus as Savior, I want to invite you to do this. I want to invite you just to text the name of Jesus, just the name Jesus, to 469-505-2225. You just text Jesus to that number, and immediately you're going to receive back a little form from us that lets you communicate to us what decision you made. We had many people in our first service do that, and we want to invite you to do that today. If you just prayed to receive Jesus, we want to invite you to do that. We want to encourage you, and we want to help you. There are some of you that just prayed to recommit your life to the Lord. Or maybe you decided, hey, I want to join this church. You do the same thing. You just put the name Jesus. You just text the name Jesus to that number, 469-505-2525. We're going to put it in the chat section of our Facebook Live and also into if you're watching our live stream. But we just want to invite you just to text the name Jesus, and you'll receive that form to tell us of that decision you made. And we want to encourage you. If you have a prayer request in your life, maybe you're without work or you've lost your job, you want people praying for you, we are going to pray for you this week, my friend. We're going to pray for you today. And so I just want to invite you just to text the name Jesus there into that number. We know that God's going to do great things today in the life of our church, the food drive that we've got going on, and people watching replays of the service. Hey, we know God is at work all around the world right now, but right now in your home, is God working in your life? Is your heart receptive and responsive to Him? If you just prayed that prayer, then you text the name Jesus. If you just made a decision, text the name Jesus to that number today. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing a closing song. And we pray that this Easter season, God is doing wonderful things in your life. Let's pray together as we close in song. Father, thank you for this time, and thank you for these who have been a part of this service today. God, I'm grateful for what you're doing in people's lives. We continue to hear stories each and every week of how you've spoken to them through the service. And God, I pray for those who prayed to trust you as Savior. God, I pray you give them courage just to text the name Jesus. For those who have made other decisions, God, give them the courage to do so. We thank you, God, for how you're working in people's lives. And we thank you that in these jars of clay that make up our bodies, you have placed the treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we know that attacks come on every side, but we take heart. We find courage today because we know that you are the King who is in control over all things. And God, though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And God, we focus our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, because we know that is eternal. Thank you, God, for the resurrection, for the Lord Jesus Christ who lives today. We thank you. And we pray it in the name that gives us life, the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.